Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Hector Guillermo Martinez, president at GM SecTech. With operations in 50 countries worldwide and headquartered in San Juan, Puerto Rico, GM SecTech has over 50 years of service in the technology and security vertical. To learn more about GM SecTech, visit gmsectech.com. Welcome, Hector. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
So, Hector, your company is very well known globally, but for some people who may not be familiar with GM SecTech, they're one of the oldest cybersecurity companies on the planet. That's how I describe them. When I talk about the company, I know it was founded 50 years ago in 1970. Give our audience the backstory on how the business originally started in the early days.
Sure, I know. Happy to. And thanks again for the opportunity, Steve, and Cybersecurity Venture, Cybercrime Magazine. So 1970 was when we got started. My father started the company in 1970 as a processing business. And we've had different iterations. We've acquired multiple companies throughout that legacy. So again, we're celebrating our golden jubilee this year, 50th anniversary. The first two decades, 70s and 80s, we acquired about 9 different companies, laser focused in the processing space. So working very closely with the payment brands, Visa, MasterCard, American Express. At that time, there were many clothing stores that had their own closed loop credit cards. Remember the Macy's of the world and all these different brands. So we did a lot of processing for them. It's interesting because, as you mentioned, that we've been in information security for a long time. We were there from the get-go. When we think about the 70s and the 80s, the majority of the systems, at least that we used, were closed systems. So they were not x86, right? They were tandem systems for processing. They were mainframe systems. Those systems were typically closed. So they were not really open for an intruder to really come in. It was all about availability of the absolute availability. When I think about information security, I think about 3 things. The CIA, right? Confidentiality, the integrity, and the availability of the information asset. So for us, from the very early stages of the company, availability was a key tenet and was a key direction for our organization. So information security was embedded in our DNA. As we got into the 80s, we did a lot of work with the payment brands, typically Visa and MasterCard, and they had very unique requirements around security. Obviously, payments have always been the low-hanging fruit for threat actors out there. It's always been the case. Before all these buzzwords came out into the industry. So it's always been closely linked to our history. Around 1990, we really did an expansion across Latin America. Our headquarters are here in San Juan, Puerto Rico, but we went out to market in Latin America and the Caribbean to really help with processing, right? Transaction processing and services. Around 1999, Banco Popular de Puerto Rico, which is the largest Hispanic bank in the U.S. and largest one here in Puerto Rico, acquired our processing business, and we exited that company. Today, that company is called Evertech. It's the first NYSE-listed processing business out of Puerto Rico, or technology-listed company. So we're very proud of that heritage. And around 2004, we really got into the bread and butter of security. And that brings us today, Steve, into our forefront of being a leader in payment security and some different areas that we dabble in across our customer and client requirements and client community, of course.
So 2004, that's still quite a long time. That's a good 20 years that you've been, or almost 20 years that you've been involved with security, and you've seen the evolution from IT or information security to cybersecurity. Give us an idea of, what your service portfolio looks like today compared to what it was back then.
Sure. No, that's a great question, Steve. So I think that when we started dabbling into very strict services around perimeter-based security, right, network-based security, that was really the buzz around 2003, 2004, 2005. And we were providing different types of services, but they were very particular around perimeter-based systems. Today, we've really evolved into what we call the Advanced Cyber Defense Line of Unit. Our Advanced Cyber Defense Line of Unit has 3 specific verticals: consulting, managed security services, and fraud prevention. Those are our 3 key offerings to the market. Consulting is certainly very important for us because we're one of the largest PCI QSA companies worldwide, certainly one of the largest in Latin America and the Caribbean. And that typically gives us a level of confidence and trust with our client community to say, okay, we can help you with other areas to accelerate that journey to compliance and to be cyber secure, cyber aware. So that is a key tenet for us. Managed security services is certainly our bread and butter, right? So that's the heart of the operation. We have 4 global security operation centers, 3 in the U.S., 1 in Mexico City, and that covers our global footprint. And that's really, really the core of our organization. And the third part is a really bespoke services unit that we have, which is fraud prevention. And we do a lot of work for the card brands around helping financial institutions mitigate their levels of fraud.
So as you mentioned before, you're headquartered in Puerto Rico. So technically, that would make you a U.S.-based company. You have a large footprint in Latin America. You do business globally. Tell us about the geography that you cover.
Sure. Happy to do so. So again, you know, we've started in San Juan, Puerto Rico. That's our incubation bed. We've always looked outside of what we call the 100 by 35, right? The 100 miles by 35. Puerto Rico is a small island. A lot of innovation here, but obviously constrained from a geographical perspective. So we've always looked outside of those borders. And Latin America has always been a unique area because when we think about Latin America is a market that, typical to Puerto Rico, is not as advanced in innovation as the U.S. or Western Europe. You know, when we look at the Rogers innovation curve, we think about late innovators, right? The late majority. So we see a lot of opportunity to help and really, really mentor some organizations in accelerating their cybersecurity journey. In 2014, we opened our Panama City, Panama office to really focus on 10 rapid growth markets outside of the U.S. and Puerto Rico. And around 2018, we acquired a competitor of ours based out of Fort Lauderdale, a company by the name of First Secure IT, which really helped us to accelerate our impact. So through that acquisition, we picked up an office in Mexico City, Mexico, where we have our 4th Global Security Operations Center and about 90 world-class resources. We also have in Bogota, Colombia, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Santiago, Chile. We have a boutique operation in Madrid, Spain, which covers our European theater, and in Melbourne, Australia, which covers our Australian APAC operations, very focused on Australia and New Zealand. So again, exporting services from Puerto Rico, which is a key. And it's also, you know, it's giving back to the community because we know there's such rich talent of young, hungry cybersecurity professionals here that go to the engineering schools. And our commitment is always to give them this exposure. And we do internship programs and the like, and it helps really to give them that, you know, global posture.
So I'm curious, in the Latin American market, how important is it to be local culturally? And I'm sure there are issues around language. You know, here in the U.S., if you're in the U.S., then really you can operate anywhere. I imagine that in Latin America, you probably have personnel in each one of those countries where you work.
So that's a great question, Steve. So that's very important, right? The having that local presence, being able to be in Brazil, speaking Portuguese to our clients, being able to even bill locally is super important to customers just because of all of the inherent requirements in each of these countries. So I tell you that would be, in Latin America specifically, one of the key areas, and it's certainly a market advantage to be local, go local, having that, again, that Spanish-speaking feel, even in each country, right? Because Colombia is very different to Panama, to Costa Rica, to Mexico. That's very important and certainly part of our market development and our business strategy of going to market.
Now, GM SecDec does business globally in the U.S., in Europe. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing globally, you know, what regions you cover aside from Latin America.
Sure. So we cover about 50 countries worldwide. And interestingly enough, over the past 10 years, we've accelerated our client footprint from around 500 enterprise customers to around 50,000 clients worldwide. That's a big number, Stephen. You're going to say, you know, how that's an exponential, right, jump. But the reality is we've developed organic solutions in the cloud that have helped our organization as GM help acquiring banks with their merchant portfolio. So we've really accelerated our client portfolio specifically with small, medium businesses. And that's been also a unique, and I'm very happy to report that it's been helpful, right, in the geographies that we focus on. The main geographies, Steve, are Latin America. So we, you know, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, Peru, Bolivia, Colombia. I'm sure I'm leaving out many countries. Mexico, Caribbean, very, very important. In the U.S., we have what I call a boutique footprint. Florida is an important market for us. We have some clients in different parts of the mainland U.S., none in Canada. Europe, very focused in Spain, certainly because of the language, as well as some of the emerging economies in Europe. So Romania, Hungary, the Czech Republic, Poland. We do have clients in Israel, in South Africa, and in India, more towards the Asia-Pac region. And in Australia and New Zealand, that's really our focus as far as our APAC operations are concerned. We are certified, as I mentioned earlier, Steve, as a PCI QSA company, so we're licensed to operate in all of these geographies. The only geography that we really do not touch as a company is the North Asia market, but everything else around the globe is covered. Because payment security is such a unique area, we have a precise offering to help our clients comply with standards and help them comply with the card brand mandate.
So speaking of payment security, your company has enjoyed a special relationship with Visa for quite a while now. How did that come to be, and what does the partnership look like with Visa?
It's a great one as well. So the Visa relationship, we have a closed link history because of what I mentioned earlier, that we were a payment processor really from 1979. So we have a 40-year history going on with Visa. We always talk about from payment processing to payment security and everything in between, because that's really our heritage. We started a relationship at the time with James Partridge, who was the president of Visa International for the Latin America region, as well as the Asia Pacific. He was the first one that really took Visa in those geographies. And we became, by 1985, the largest non-banking VisaNet processor in Latin America and the Caribbean. That certainly helped us to elevate, right, our fuel consumption with Visa and our relationship with Visa at that time. By the time that we exited the processing business, you know, that company became a publicly listed company, but we maintained relationships with senior leadership at Visa at the time. As we became a PCI qualified security assessor company, one of the things that was very important is to continue developing relationships with the card brands who at the end of the day are the ones that compose the PCI Security Standards Council, right? Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, and JCB. So I was quite happy and pleased that we were able to really reconnect with that heritage as we got into PCI. When we signed an alliance, an engagement particular to Latin America and the Caribbean with Visa, with senior leadership at Visa Latin America and the Caribbean, or Visa LAC, to go to market and educate the payment system around payment security. Like with everything, Steve, payment security and everything in security is always a necessary evil, right? Security is not at the forefront when I'm developing a fintech. Security is not the first thing I think about. I always provide the analogy that, you know, I'm not going to put a fence around my house because I like the color of the fence. I need to put a fence around my house because there's vulnerabilities, there's threats, there's risks. So it's the same thing with information security and InfoSec and payment security. We're helping to educate the community, whether it's an acquiring bank, whether it's an issuing bank, a payment gateway, or a merchant, in how they need to be cyber secure. Obviously, PCI is that baseline, but it goes above that. And that's really been at the forefront of our alliance with Visa now in the payment space. We started last year in Chile doing our payment security day, or PaySec days. Then we went into Mexico with our PaySec day, Colombia in December of last year with PaySec day. Obviously, this year with the current climate around travel and current climate around health, we took these virtual. So now they're called PaySec Talks. So we took a bit of a poetic license from the TED Talks and kind of pushed it in that direction of being payment security talks. And we've had phenomenal, phenomenal acceptance. Just in the Spanish-speaking one, we had over 1,400 registrations just for a two-hour stint. In Portuguese, we had over 600. In English, for the English Caribbean and South Florida, over 300. So very well received, and I'm happy to report that the Visa engagement has been fantastic to help educate and accelerate know-how and awareness around cybersecurity for the payment community.
40 years is unbelievable. A strategic relationship that continues today. But it doesn't stop there for GMSecTech, because your name continuously comes up in the community. I know you recently forged a strategic relationship with a cybersecurity company in New York City, Security Scorecard. So tell us about what you're doing with them.
Right. So that's also important for us. You know, past couple of years, we've seen the advent of security ratings, right? Cyber quantification. Insurance companies have been very heavy around this, companies like AIG and Marsh and other ones, right, around these new cyber policies that are coming to bear. And I think that cyber ratings have taken really a front seat in a conversation around what does my health look like for my external posture. I met the CEO of SSC, Security Scorecard, at the RSA conference this year, wonderful person, the visionary Alexander Yampolsky, and we had a lot of commonalities and likes, and we signed an agreement with them for Latin America and the Caribbean to help our client community, as well as our friends in the region, with cybersecurity ratings. We actually published a white paper about 2 months ago where we as a QSA company touch on the importance of cybersecurity ratings for your external posture if you are a merchant, right? Now everybody's moving to the e-commerce world because of the advent of the pandemic. And many cases, merchants do not think about that, right? Again, going back to the analogy of security, they do not think about security when they go live with their e-commerce channel. And I think that cybersecurity is really evolving very rapidly because of this, right? We've seen, you know, Visa came out with a statistic saying that in the first quarter of the year, 2 in 10 users, cardholders, used a non-contact or a contactless payment channel for the first time, whether it's contactless payments or an e-commerce channel. That's fantastic. So it's accelerating that, but obviously the risks and the threats are there. And certainly Security Scorecard has been a fantastic ally and what I call a thoroughbred in our stable as far as partners and platforms because of that acceleration of, wow, I have a situation that I need to cover from my external posture.
Well, they will be a great partner. We track Security Scorecard. I know Alex, so I think it'll be a great partnership. Glad to hear that. So we can't really have a conversation without touching on COVID-19. You know, it's interesting. Probably for the, you know, first 3 months after the pandemic started, it was almost the first talking point. Everybody who came on the podcast, they wanted to talk about it. Now, it's become the new norm. You know, we're not, you know, touching on it until now. Maybe it's the temporary new norm or the permanent new norm. Things have changed, though. They've changed a lot. How has it changed both you, your company, and your clients, how you do business, and the threats that you see?
Sure. And again, fantastic question, because it's an evolving question. And every week there's a different conversation around how has COVID impacted professionally and personally. And for us, it's been a journey, like I'm sure it's been for the entire professional community and personal community. One of the first things that we did around mid-March was, we started issuing, but by February, when we knew this was starting to cover the world, so to speak, we started issuing alerts to our clients as well as to our consulting community who travel very heavily on a yearly basis to do these, to perform these on-site audits around some of the things that we need to take into consideration as health precautions were coming to play in each country. And obviously borders started closing in March. So we started looking at how can we start doing remote audits, which at the time were not allowed by the PCI Council. The PCI Council allowed remote audits as does the card brand. So they provided waivers around remote audits. So we started doing these remote audits for our client community. In many cases, clients were not allowing us to go on premise, or they were not allowing us to really, you know, just even say, hey, by the way, the frontier, right, that the border is closed, there's nothing we can do. So that's really evolved our thinking and our model in how we perform assessments to our client community in the PCI space. But what I've also seen, Steve, is that because of this work from home across the board that's occurred, right, for many companies that perhaps were not doing it before, there's been a flight to keep working, right, keep that availability going from home. So what I've seen is a rise in threat vectors because of that telework, right? Again, security not embedded, right? It's bolted on rather than built in. So as these workers are connecting to the office from home, you know, that router might not be protected. So that's an infection vector right there, right? It's an addressable infection vector. So we, you know, our digital forensics incident response team has been very occupied over the past 6 months helping our clients to In incident response, we've seen a rise in ransomware, a terrible rise in ransomware across our Latin American geographies with, you know, very hefty issues. And I'm sure you've seen it across the board through your editor community. We've also seen business email compromise. So we've seen kind of this increase in information security specific attacks, threat actors taking advantage of everybody that's working remotely. So we've been very busy. I'm happy to say that, you know, that security is very linked to health. So we've seen kind of, you know, we've been in lockstep with requirements of our client community. But I tell you, Steve, if I were to sum it up, you know, we've been busier than ever given the pandemic. You know, we were working very hard before, but working even harder now and helping to keep our customers safe. And it's an ongoing battle, right? Because at the end of the day, we always say that security is not an end product. Security is a continuous process.
Well, after listening to you, Hector, for anyone who wasn't familiar, now they know why your company was named to the Cybersecurity Ventures Hot 150 last year, and again this year in 2020. Tell us about, you know, the future. We heard about the past. We know where you are today. Where is GM SecTech going? What can we expect in 2021 and the next few years out?
Sure. So I tell you that Latin America and the Caribbean is still a geography with many opportunities and many clients and prospects who need more services and support. So we're doubling down in 2021-2023 roadmap in our geographies of focus. We're certainly growing in our in the geographies that are in that periphery. So again, the mainland U.S. is an important market. We do work with the U.S. federal government. We recently captured a project with the U.S. federal government in the mainland U.S. to help consumers have better visibility as they consume different types of services. We're very proud of that, and that really is a springboard to continue developing our mainland U.S. market. Australia, New Zealand, also plentiful opportunity, as is Europe. Again, we are laser focused in our geographies, and we're very good at what we do. There's many competitors out there, and we always call them friends, right? We're in this battle together. But I see multiple opportunities in that runway, right, in the next 2 to 3 years. Latin America certainly is going to continue to be that, right, that navigation light in front of us. But at the same time, those geographies that are in the periphery are important to our mission, right? Our mission is information security. Our mission is security. And we will be laser focused in that as our clients and our friends require it.
You know, listening to you, it strikes me that GM SecTech is all about community. Everything from, you know, how you built the company, what you do in Latin America, what you're doing globally, the partnerships that you forged. But pound for pound, I'm not sure there's another company I've seen who gives back to the community as much as you have. You mentioned this to me. I did a little bit of research, but you can certainly explain to our audience much better than I can. It looks like there's more than a dozen institutions that you're giving back to. You're working with students. Tell us about what GM SecTech is doing there.
Sure, absolutely. And that, absolutely, Steve. And this is a multi-pronged approach that we're very proud of. And we've been doing it for over 45 years. I mean, it really started with my father when he founded this company in 1970. We've always been inclined towards the cultural arts. So the first engagement that we have had as a company giving back is looking to help students who are looking to really get into the cultural track, right? Whether it's opera, classical music, very, very involved in that community here in Puerto Rico, involved with the Los Angeles Opera, with the New York Met, the Metropolitan Opera, and the Washington, D.C., the National Opera. So really helping, again, that community here in Puerto Rico, and, you know, if that talent is there, helping them export, right, to become, hopefully, on the global stage. So we've always been very, very, again, laser-focused on that area. As we, you know, as we receive more input into the cyber community in Puerto Rico, we found a common challenge, right? And this is a common challenge to many cyber companies worldwide, the lack of talent, right? That talent gap. So we were forced to look for, whether it's offensive security, defensive security, you know, purple teams, what have you. And the talent wasn't just there. And I said to myself, well, this is a challenge that everybody has. So why don't we do something about it? Puerto Rico has always had a superb engineering community, whether it's our Mayagüez school or our Polytechnic University. So we signed an agreement about 7 years ago with the Polytechnic University of Puerto Rico and the Puerto Rico Science and Technology Trust to incubate cybersecurity talent. And it's wonderful because the Polytechnic University of Puerto Rico, as an example, is an NSA CAE, right? So it's a National Security Agency Center of Academic Excellence, where every October the NSA comes to recruit and take them to, whether it's Fort Meade or to work with MITRE or all these mission systems integrators like a Raytheon or a General Dynamics. Our commitment to Puerto Rico is to help keep that talent here. So we do what we call cohorts in the summertime for 3 month stints to help them get involved in these types of work streams. If they complete the coursework, we provide them a full-time employment opportunity. And that's been, Steve, a fantastic engagement for us. It's been rewarding for us and them. I mean, these interns who are now professionals are doing, you know, advanced security all over the world from Puerto Rico. And we're starting to do that now in Mexico. So that for us in the cyber front, very, very important. The cultural aspect is something that is linked to our DNA. We've always been very vocal about supporting cultural engagements, particularly in the classical music space. So I tell you that those are the two areas that we are laser focused on as a company in the social entrepreneurship space.
So Hector, I want to ask you before we get to a final question. You're in Puerto Rico. You're so much bigger than that. You're global, but you know, Puerto Rico has really suffered, you know, and the whole country here has great affection for you and for all people in Puerto Rico. Tell us about the community there, cyber in particular. I don't know that we're even familiar, and we track the market with what's going on, you know, in that tiny island. It sounds like a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is that we have had a lot of natural disasters, and certainly the pandemic has hit us as well. So Puerto Rico has been at the forefront of national and international news with regards to Hurricane Maria in 2017, the earthquakes earlier this year, now the pandemic. There's a fiscal issue that's always been running around in Washington. But the reality is that Puerto Rico has superb talent and world-class talent. We've been a pharmaceutical hub for years, right, for decades, a leading pharmaceutical hub, as you know, and the forefronts of Singapore and Ireland. I mean, we were the genesis of that, and we've always been committed, right, to the community here, to students. As I mentioned earlier, superb, just quality, human quality, professional quality across the board. In 2017, after the hurricane, through our cultural program, we helped students in the Conservatory of Music who had lost housing to help them rebuild, right? So we looked at that area. The other piece, which has been very near and dear to my heart, Steve, is the area around the cybersecurity talent community here. It's very unique. There's a B-Sides Puerto Rico that happens every year. This year is going to be virtual this year, beginning of next year. And we've been very close to B-Sides and the local community, supporting them any way that we can. We do hack nights. We do different types of events just to help the community come together and really grow. Because again, as you were saying, Puerto Rico is a small island, geographically speaking, as well as in the national spotlight. But again, we believe wholeheartedly in our talent and what we have here and what we can export. So we have been always an important enabler to the local organizations that are typically non-for-profit. So we provide them, you know, any type of investment that they require to help them progress. You know, where we go to DEF CON and Black Hat in previous years and get together at DEF CON and see what's hot, what's new, what can we work together in. So big proponent of that.
So Hector, with 50 years, you know, it's an anniversary. It's huge. What are you doing to celebrate, if anything? What are you doing to recognize your employees who helped, you know, bring you to the 50th mark? What's going on?
So very exciting, Steve. This year for us is a major milestone, right? There's a 50 years of a continuous operating company. Before the pandemic hit our shores, We had a multi-pronged, multi-geography celebration planned. We started in February, and it was our first and last one, but we had our annual meeting in Mexico, in Tequila, Mexico, a small little town in Guadalajara. We took over the Jose Cuervo facility and the hotel, and we took about 75 clients and some of our team members to do basically a conference. For 3 days, we talked about what are we thinking about. We rebranded the company from GM Security Technologies to GM SecTech, to be more succinct, and talk about the 50 years. Talk about those 50 years moving forward. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic event. We launched, we talked about it, the past 50 years and the next 50 years. And the whole idea of the whole 2020 was during every quarter having a specific cultural event tied to the 50 years, closing out December with a big event that we wanted to do for the community here in Puerto Rico in a cultural site. Those plans changed certainly because of the pandemic. So now we're looking to go virtual and impact as much as possible. We've done some test runs in the past couple months, but we're also publishing a very nice coffee table book, and we've been working on it for the past year and a half. It's been my father's love and joy, and he's been laser focused on it over the past 18 months. And it talks about the history, right? The history of developing the company, the exit in 99 of the processing business, you know, the restart around the security, you know, laser focus in the security space. And it's something that will be published in December. It's very special because it talks about everything we've been talking about here, Steve, right? The history with Visa, the cultural aspect, the service to community, the sense of community and being closely linked to that. And certainly always being laser focused, and I say that a lot, with opportunity prosecution, right? So we're very good at what we do in providing a full services approach to our clients, whether it's consulting, managed security services, or even fraud prevention. And that is, again, at the core of our everyday. So that's going to be specific in that book that's going to be published in December with some sort of virtual event. And the whole idea is to look forward, right? And what we call the next generation, right? I'm second generation, but you know, looking at the next 50 years, you know, what's that going to be? And we really want to make it to that centenary. So now it's, you know, now we've looked at the past, we're in the present, and it starts time to look at the future and what that holds. And certainly, information security is something that's here to stay. You know, I know from many studies that have been made, this is an area of certain growth, of hyper growth, and there's not enough talent. So we're happy to provide a grain of sand to that big pie.
So before we let you go, Hector, we have to get a shout out to your dad. What is your dad's name? The founder originally of the company and now author of forthcoming book?
Right, and the chairman of the board. So Guillermo L. Martinez, and there's that G and the M. Mm-hmm. Which has it has an interesting story because the GNDM, I mean, there is a bit of that tongue in cheek, but it really comes from the initial company was General Computer Corporation because we were closely linked to General Electric. We did a lot of work for General Electric, so that's where the General comes from. General Computer Corporation. We acquired 10 companies in the 80s and the 90s, and the last one was Multiple Computer Services. So we said, okay, let's do a little rebrand. So General Multiple GM. And there's that tongue in cheek. So Guillermo L. Martinez, and he's still with us every day, and you know he hammers us very in on our quota attainment and our go to market. So certainly very happy to be working for him and learning from him certainly.
Hector, thank you so much for joining us. Such a great story, and we're excited to share the story. You know, I talk to a lot of people about your company, so it's a special opportunity for us to memorialize the 50 years and to get it out to the community. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much, Steve. Happy to be here.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Hector Guillermo Martinez, President at GM SecTech. With operations in 50 countries worldwide and headquartered in San Juan, Puerto Rico, GM SecTech has over 50 years of service in the technology and security vertical. To learn more about our sponsor, GM SecTech, visit gmsectech.com. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.